Jeff Harding here with TS Tech, here with another story, another interview with a good friend of mine, actually. I've known Karen here for a couple of years. She came across PS Tech recently within the last several weeks. Very articulate lady, and I wanted to bring her on because she had some wonderful stories, not only in her experiences with PS Tech, but also how she was using it. She's had some experience with a lot of different modalities as she was following along with PS Tech according to the instructions. I wanted to have her share with you some of the techniques, if you will, and how she was doing it and show some of these things. So she's going to talk a little bit about some of the, well, let's call it deep emotional wounds, if you will, and working with those, as well as some that weren't so deep. They were just recent, some things that happened really quickly, kind of in the moment. And then also, we're going to touch on some things regarding some physical issues, too. So we got all sorts of goodies here today. So I think you're really going to enjoy this. Welcome, Karen. Are you there with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, Jeff.
How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. Tell us a little bit about you. I know you're an aromatherapist, and if people need to contact you, tell me how they can contact you, and give us a little background on what you're doing there.
Okay, I am an aromatherapist. I have a company called A Peaceful Path. You can find it on the internet at A Peaceful Path. And what I do is I custom blend essential oils to create aromatherapy basically for the soul. I focus on a spiritual intent with this. And so what I do is help people change their vibration. And if anybody wants to email me, they can email me at karen@apeacefulpath.com.
Okay. And your website, what is it? You said apeacefulpath.com?
A Peaceful Path, yes, the letter A, and then peacefulpath.com.
Okay, good, excellent. You came across PS Tech, a month or two ago, a couple months?
Maybe about 6 weeks ago. I got an email from you, and because of our relationship, I instantly checked it out. The rest is history.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about history here. First of all, I, in a general way, there was one word that you've used a couple times that I really enjoy, and you said, as I was using PS Tech, and you're not a newbie to change work, right?
Right. Yeah, okay. I use it all the time. Yeah.
You've been at things for a couple years. What?
Actually, if you go back to the '80s with Tony Robbins doing NLP and different things, I have been looking and working with different modalities probably for the last 15 years, but for the last 5 years, it's been really my focus.
Mostly on a personal basis, right? Not so much working for others or doing work for others.
No, just on my own personal quest with my own life.
Okay, good. One thing that you used here, and you've been through many things, and you and I have played around with some EFT in the past, and I know you've done some other modalities. We won't go into all those. It's not necessary. But there was one thing that you brought up when you said you were started working with PS Tech, and you said it startled me.
Yeah, because it was so easy. It was so amazingly fast and easy. And I understood the principle kind of behind it, but I was completely unprepared for the shift that I would feel in, what did we say, 14 minutes? In just a short period of time. It was just startling to me, yeah.
And initially, you were just working with the free package, the ClickTrax. That's it.
That was it. I first downloaded that, and I started working with it. It came right at a time. I had just relaunched my website, had a complete, like, little facelift, and was refocusing on some parts of my business, and some of it fell hard for me. And so I used the PS Tech, and it was just like, it just opened me up. I don't even know how to explain it, except that the issues that I had, the resistance that I was having to some changes that I really wanted, but I was resisting, it was just gone. Just gone.
What kind of resistance, if you can share a little bit, and what did you target with the PS Tech? How'd you do that? Because business, money issues, because we're kind of talking about business, money issues, abundance, etc., right?
Yeah.
As a general.
Exactly.
And this is always a big subject for everybody, I think.
Of course. I'm not on this path by myself.
But
what happened was I had a friend not too long ago ask me, do you really want to earn a living doing this, or are you just doing it for fun? And, you know, nothing like having that just pointed out to you to really make me sit down and think about what I wanted. And I realized I really did want to do this for a business. I wanted it to be a real business as well as something that I loved. But I was having a little trouble reconciling from my past history that I could actually earn a living doing something I loved. I felt like if I was going to earn an abundant living, it would probably need to be something I hated and something that was a lot of work and something that was a struggle. And if I was going to do something I loved, that was great, but it probably wasn't going to be financially rewarding. So those were the beliefs I came in with.
But let me ask you a question, though. In regards to this friend asked, do you want to earn a living or are you just having fun with it? But before she asked you that, did you kind of have a feeling that, yeah, I'm doing my best to earn a living at it? In other words, I'm not just trying to have fun, I really am trying to earn a living with it.
I felt that somewhat, but on my gut, you know, underneath I would know that I really wasn't. I come from being a sales manager. I come from an intense sales background, and when I left that 7 years ago, I kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater. Do you know what I mean? It was like saying, everything about this is bad. I don't want any of this in my life. Well, that's crazy. I have great tools I know how to use, and I wasn't using any of them because I so equated all of that with my prior experience.
Okay.
So that's what I used the PS Tech with. I really got down and thought about my feelings about my last job. And I got to the point of getting very, very specific. First, I kind of started generally, and I just kept drilling down. And so what I did was I got to the question of the belief that to earn an abundant living, I needed to do something that I didn't love. I needed to not be authentic. And I worked on releasing that belief. And it took me, I would love to say that in 14 minutes that particular one changed, but it didn't. It was a long-held belief, and it probably took me 3 different sessions. That's still not very much time. That's still really, really fast.
What did you focus on in those sessions?
What I focused on, the first one was really the feeling that if I were going to earn a good living, I needed to do something I was miserable in. Just feeling that the two were the same, that earning an abundant living and doing something I hated pretty much were the same. That had been my experience. That was how I earned a living in the past.
What did you focus on in terms of, you have the feeling, was it a thought or an image or what was?
It was that gut feeling in my stomach. It was a feeling of that yuck. I have to do something I don't want to do.
Okay.
It was that kind of a feeling. This is something I don't want to do.
Okay.
Because that's, you know what I mean? It was so opposite of what I wanted in my heart, which is this is something of course I want to do. I want to work with what I love and I want to earn a living with it. But yet my belief was that was not possible. And so that's what I worked with. I worked with feeling the belief that I kept pulling forward was, It's a struggle to earn a living with what I love. It's not possible to earn a living with what I love.
Okay.
You know, the only way to earn a good living, I think these were the three things I did, and the other one was the only way to earn a good living is to do something hard and complicated. So those are the beliefs that I pulled up and just tapped away at them and just kept pulling them forward and forward and forward. And by the third time, I really noticed that I really couldn't pull it forward. And then I'll tell you what amazingly happened after this belief kind of fell off my particular table. I sent a letter to somebody that I knew that I use. What I do in my work is I use sound energy a lot, and so I kind of pretend I'm Dr. Emoto, if you know about that work, and I infuse the oils with music.
Okay.
And I reached out to the person whose music I was loving and using and told her what I did. and sent her a sample. I'd never been so bold before. I mean, who am I? You know, here's this really famous person, and I'm reaching out. I got an amazing letter back. She wants to partner with me. She wants to use my oils in her concerts. This is so amazing. I would have never done it if I had not done the PS Tech and really opened myself up to, yes, I can do what I love and I can make money.
Sounds too easy.
Sounds way too easy, doesn't it? I mean, I'm still shocked. I am still in shock and awe. And it's funny, I think I told you this when I saw you not too long ago. I am still in this place because this is relatively new for me. All of this experience has been in the last 6 weeks. I wake up in the morning and I kind of think about, gee, am I still okay about that? Kind of punch around with it a little bit the way you would like a sore muscle or something to see if, is it still okay? Yeah, it's still okay. It hadn't come back.
Cool. So you're checking in, kind of.
Checking in just to make sure, because it almost seems too good to be true. Like, oh, I have been through traditional therapy. I have used hypnosis. I have used EFT. I certainly use essential oils since that's my business. Mm-hmm. And all of these things have made these issues less, okay? They've gotten better. None of them have removed it the way PS Tech does, and it's just startling to me that something so simple could be so incredibly effective.
There's that word again, startled. And you mentioned also shock and awe, which had a little political statement a few years ago. So it's nice to have a new reference to shock and awe. So.
Isn't it? Really positive one?
Yeah, much more
pleasant. Your life?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay. So, all right, let me, on this abundance thing, because I think this is really important. What you had and identified and sat down with was, number one, you had someone point out in their observation, because they're really seeing what's going on the outside, looking at your behavior, looking at your actions, and going, these are not the actions of someone that wants to earn a living with it.
Right.
These are the actions of somebody that, they got a hobby going. You know, she loves what she does, but it's not really a business aspect. And I think there's a big belief issue with that. That's a problem for a lot of people that says, wait a minute, how can I possibly be passionate and at the same time look for money?
Exactly.
Or expect money or allow money, however you want to word that. So I think this is a big belief issue to look at, because we think about earning a living. Okay, use the word earning and living and money and earning and working, all of that you kind of encapsulated in those beliefs that had to do with difficulty, hard struggle, not being authentic. That's a big thing. That's a high priority, I think, for everybody. They want to be authentic with ourselves. We want to be true. We want to be honest, you know, those kind of things. So I think it's fun and interesting that your friend would be able to ask that simple question to kind of shock and awe, to shock you out of that, I don't want to, and I'm not picking on you here, but that complacency that gets us going down a road and we think, oh wait, I'm getting better, I'm getting better. No, it's getting better.
Yeah.
I had
That's exactly it.
I had $50 more this month than last month. It's better.
That's exactly. And what happened was she looked at me, I who have 30 years of marketing experience for an international company. I mean, I certainly have the credentials, and yet I was not marketing my business at all. I was expecting somebody, I don't know, the universe to just guide them to me. And yet I had this belief that there was, just was such a firmly held belief that I had pulled from my last experience and just held on to.
Okay, yeah. So you went with your last experience because that was the heaviest, the most recent too.
Mm-hmm.
And then you started looking at these beliefs. So basically you're sitting down in a quiet time and going, okay, what's going on, right? Is that about it?
Right. I was pretty clear because I've dealt with all of this before.
Oh, okay,
so I was
right.
Really.
Right.
Fairly clear about what my issues were. You know, I just needed somebody to remind me I needed to deal with them. You know how you can know what your issues are, but go on about your life, and you'll always be getting to it eventually, and eventually doesn't come.
Right.
So what I did was I made the commitment, yeah, that I was going to sit down and honor the process, be quiet, get really in touch with those feelings, which are hard. Those are feelings you don't want to feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Being so in touch with the fact of how conflicted I was about money and my business and how the two intersected. And so it was not, it was a little bit painful. You know, it wasn't a comfortable thing.
Exactly. And that's, quite often we say this, this is simple, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
But in reality, it is easy once we allow it to happen. And what you really touched on, because I've had this thought the last few weeks in working with other people, this whole easy thing, and I'm going, wait a minute, it is easy, because as soon as we target something and we run a click track or whatever, boom, it's gone. That's easy. Mm-hmm. All right? So I would kind of move along
once
and say,
once you get to that place, you're easy.
Right,
maybe
exactly.
The lack of ease is having that fortitude to do an evaluation of yourself really, really honestly and say, this is what my issue is.
Exactly. And that's the hard part, is looking at that and going, I am holding on to this all by myself without any help. And therefore, as Tim points out, hey, I constructed this mind model. I brought this in. Therefore, I have complete control, which is the good part. But I have to admit that and go, whoa, I've been hanging on to this, and I got to let, okay, so now I can let it go. But first, I got to admit I'm hanging on to this.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
I've been hanging on to it for maybe at least a few weeks, months, maybe years, maybe decades. And that's a tough one. Okay, and we've all done it or are doing it to some degree. So that was a great illustration, because that is the hard part. But if you can sit down, and it doesn't take long. What, you sat down with some of these thoughts, what, maybe how long did you take to really kind of assess what you have here?
Well, after I kind of looked at the program and thought, boy, this came at a perfect time. And I probably spent like half a day in the back of my mind, kind of mulling over what I wanted to work with. And then I sat down, and probably it took me about 15 minutes, maybe 20, to get really in touch with those feelings. I wanted to get to the gut of them, because I knew that the more intensely I could let myself feel what I was feeling, the more open I could be to the experience, the quicker this would happen. You know what I mean? And so I was kind of going for the gusto. But I think that even with being really open, look, I need to do it three times. These were things that, you're right, decades. They were beliefs I had held for decades. And so it was very interesting to feel, though, that with each consecutive session, I could feel the movement. I mean, every single time I could feel it lessening. It wasn't that nothing happened. It was like, whoa, that's a lot better, but I want it gone. You know what I mean? I'm not willing to settle for just a lot better.
Right.
I'm going to do it one more time and get it really gone.
How did you allow the feelings, you said, coming through, I forget the words you used, to allow that, you get in touch with them?
What I did was I basically just let myself feel it. I really...
Would you focus on mentally, though? Did you have any pictures, any experiences?
What I did was I thought about the experience of running my business. I just thought about how I felt about running my business, and then I had a mental image of making a lot of money. And the two, I was surprised how hard it was for me to put the two together. You know what I mean? To make those two images into one image. Oh, I resisted it like crazy. And so what I did was I focused on that resistance, the resistance that I felt, how I felt like everything in me was going, no, 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 those two don't go together. And so the more I focused on the resistance I was feeling, the more I opened up to that emotion in my body, and literally my stomach clenched up, my jaw clenched up. I mean, I noticed in my body, because I was really in a hyper-aware kind of place. So so I was observing myself as well as feeling it, and I was amazed at how instantly, when I really locked into that emotion, it wasn't just in my mind. It was throughout my whole body. I mean, I felt it all over.
Wow, okay. This is a wonderful example, and that's why I wanted to allow all of us to get into Karen's mind here.
Scary play.
Yeah, well, you know. But I'm just we want to draw out the goodies. So you did an imagined event of running your business abundantly.
Right. I played the scenario out, and then what I did was I locked into the incredible resistance.
And that, right, that exposed the resistance. So what you're doing here is you're basically, in a way, doing a PS Tech positive, but without the click track, just within your mind.
Yeah, I'm setting up. Yeah.
What you desire. Yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. No, that was it. I was kind of just setting up exactly the picture of what I desire and then seeing what that created.
Okay.
And then working with what that created.
And so the subconscious is saying to you, excuse me, that doesn't work because I have proof it doesn't work.
Exactly. That is not the way this works. That will never happen. You know, that could not happen. And these are all the reasons it won't happen because that isn't what you've experienced before.
Cool. So it came in this resistance feeling, and you just focused on the physical feelings, if you will, the stomach all over the body when it really, you know, allowed it
yeah.
to come up. Good. And then these beliefs, well, did you already identify the beliefs that you talked about, those three beliefs?
Well, I kind of, as the resistance came up, then I got really clear. It was like I did the scenario of what I wanted, felt the resistance, and then said, what is this resistance? Well, the resistance is I don't believe I can do what I love and earn a living. What I do believe is that earning a living needs to be hard. It needs to be, I need to be not authentic. It needs to be something I'm not comfortable with.
Good.
And so I kind of really locked into what the experience brought up for me, the imagining experience. That's how I found those beliefs.
And this is really important because, and Tim talks about it, memories. When we say match up the memory and the emotion, the memory can either be a past experience or an imagined event, either past or future. So you're taking a future imagined event and matching it up with this feeling that comes up.
Right. I was matching up with kind of a locked memory of what my past experience had been.
Right.
So that was the disconnect. Here was something in the future I really wanted. Here's my experience, and here's how the two don't connect at all.
So basically, you would run this imagined event, and you didn't get what I call Jeep. No joy, no enthusiasm, no excitement, no peace.
No, I got clenched up terror.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Did you call it terror, actually?
I actually did feel at one point, whenever I really clenched up, I thought, boy, this feels kind of terrorizing. You know, it's kind of interesting that I'm having such a dramatic physical response to really letting this emotion just wave over me. Like, what do I feel if I don't resist it at all? I'm not going to die. Nothing bad's going to happen to me. I'm just going to let myself feel this emotion fully. And when I did, I started breathing very shallowly, and I felt clenched up, and I thought, I'm really scared. I'm really scared because this is something I really want that I don't believe is possible.
And then you came along with the emotions and matched them up. Now, when you're doing the click tracks after this kind of assessment time, you have these beliefs. What did you actually focus on mentally? We have the emotion, we have the feeling. On the memory, imagine event, what did you focus on there? I'm not sure.
What I focused on was the feeling that was two things. And in the first session, I really focused on the fact that I didn't think it was possible, that how hopeless it felt to me that it wasn't possible to have these two things combined, that I could do something I loved and earn a great living. So that was my first one, and it kind of got me. And then I had to go to the place of really looking at why did I believe that. I believed that because I thought that it needed to be really hard. See, so one kind of dominoed into the next one.
Now, when you're thinking, so are those just feelings and just thoughts that I can't? Or were you picturing, were it images, or what was it like?
I think I was mostly, more than the images, I was really focused on the emotion. I was really feeling the emotion of, I can't do this, it's hopeless, you know, this is something beyond me, this is bigger than I can handle.
I'm wondering if you were already focused on the Imagine event of running a business abundantly, if that was the, what your mind was pairing up or matching up, because you were already in that thought process, that stream of thoughts.
Yeah, I think probably, yeah, exactly.
Okay. So then we have these beliefs that came up to earn abundance. I need to do something I don't love, not be authentic, something I hate even.
Yeah.
Went over to it, well, the whole thing's a struggle, and the only way to earn a living is doing something hard and difficult. Were those the basic ones there, right?
That pretty much covers it, yeah.
So you run the click tracks. Now, just the regular click tracks, those are the freebies, right?
It was just the freebies then. That when I dealt with this one, I didn't have the other tapes yet. I mean, the other.
So you got your money's worth, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that was part of what was so startling is, I got this amazing tool as this beautiful gift for free. It's so incredibly generous, and it's such an amazing tool. I mean, I think that was as shocking as the fact it works so well.
And a little suspicious, too, maybe, huh?
Well, just a little like, does he know what he's doing? Here I am trying to earn a living, and now I'm wondering if he needs to wonder about it, too.
After, so you've cleared that up in a sense. Now you didn't have the positive, so you're not running the positive, really.
Right, didn't have the positive yet.
So, how soon after that did you begin to look at your imagined business, abundant business?
Well, you know, I kind of took an action step almost immediately. I would say the next day, when it had kind of settled in a little bit, is when I reached out to Asana and told her about the music. And then I also, it was so organic. I think that's what was also shocking to me was the fact that I suddenly saw opportunity I hadn't seen before. I get the same emails all the time, but suddenly I'm seeing one teaching me how to do a Facebook ad. And I'm seeing something else with some other information, and I see a place where my blog is posted that they're taking sponsorship, and maybe I could place an ad. And so I think my eyes were just open to opportunities in a way that before, because of my resistance, I wasn't even seeing them. You know, it was there.
Yeah, it's not like you never got an email before promoting something, right?
Right, exactly. It wasn't like that. Yes, exactly that. Plus, the ironically funny thing is that part-time on the side, I do marketing for people. And so I'm creating these things for other people all the time and yet was not using these tools at all for myself. You know, typical, right?
Absolutely. Not funny.
So, yeah, so I started, I noticed the change. I would say within 24 hours I was in an action mode of feeling not just comfortable, but kind of wanting, kind of excited about doing
so. The jeep came
know?
In, the joy, enthusiasm, excitement, the peace. But were you focusing on the business per se, or you're just waking up going, I got to do this. Oh, look at this.
I kind of was, it just kind of happened. I wasn't necessarily thinking about how can I promote my business today. It was more like opportunities came by, and I was going, wow, that would be fun to do. I could do that. Gee, I wonder why I haven't ever thought about doing that before. You know what I mean? It was that kind of a situation.
Right.
So it was more just an awakening, I guess. I don't even know what to call
it. Well, that's the effortless part that so many people, I think, maybe not, are misconstruing here. The effortlessness is this kind of thought process. It goes, oh, here's something I should do. This looks like fun. I'll do that. Oh, here's something else. This is cool. I'm going to do that. And that's the effortlessness, as opposed to this part we talked about in the beginning. The reason why this work is not always easy is because it's hard for us to look at these things because of the resistance and the conflict and the disharmony, when you clear these things up, this harmonious stuff just seems to come out, right?
That was exactly it. It wasn't like I sat down with a big notebook and said, okay, I'm going to do a marketing plan now for a
Let's figure out how to do this, yes.
You know, and I'll have my 8 steps and we'll put them on a flow chart or something.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that at all. It was more just this, you're right, joy. There was a feeling of joy and a feeling of just expansiveness that it would be easy. This is easy and this is fun.
So let me ask you this. When it comes to this imagined event of your business being abundant, what's the feeling that comes with it now?
Now it's excitement. Now I feel a sense of anticipation.
Okay.
And that's what before, anticipation was the furthest thing. That would be the last adjective I would have used. And now then I have this kind of joyous anticipation of, gee, I wonder what's going to happen next. Gee, I wonder how that's going to turn out.
So not an anticipation like an anxiety, like, ooh, ooh, I got to do this, not that.
No, more like a curiosity, like a happy curiosity.
A curiosity like, ooh, I wonder what's next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
okay,
it.
Not like, I got to do this, I got to do that, you know, it's more like, ooh, what's going to come my way? Is that true?
Exactly. Mm. I wonder what the universe has in store for me today.
Interesting. So a nice test here is your imagined event now doesn't have the terror and the clenching and those kind of things, right?
That's amazing to me that all of that resistance has just been removed, and it's really removed. It's not like before when I've struggled to try to feel something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you want to have a release of something, and so you imagine it and you try to make it happen and
right.
You pretend. It's not like that. It's just gone. It's just completely gone.
Startling.
Startling. I have shock and awe.
Hopefully we can, with this little story here, we can pass some of that shock and awe to some others.
Oh, I would love that. That would be great.
You've kind of touched on, you know, I've worked with some other things, kind of, you know, felt a little better, but with the manifestation out in the physical, obviously it wasn't let go. It wasn't clear. There was something that you had mentioned in the workshop, and you didn't allude to it specifically, and we don't have to get too specific, but you had mentioned there was a deep, long ago emotional issue. Can you talk about that? Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
And this has to do with mothers, and I just wanted to kind of preframe or talk about this, just a little comment. Apologies and forgive us all for everything we say about mothers and moms. You know, they always get the worst, but I think we ought to give them the best too.
Listen, I have 3 kids, so I'm talking on both sides of the fence,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
I am a mother as well as a daughter.
Right.
And so I definitely see both sides of it.
Good.
And I'm comfortable talking about this because I had just, like a lot of people, had long-term misunderstanding issues with my mother. And it was really easy for her to set off all my bells and whistles. And so I kind of avoided contact. It was just easier. And it doesn't even matter what the issues were. They were just these issues.
Right.
And so I did the PS Tech about this. Because you know what? I am 62 years old. My mother is 87. It's not serving us well at this stage in our life to be mad at each other.
Right.
And I don't want to end her life. I don't want her life to end with me being mad at her. And so I kind of had this, and I really just wanted, number one, a release for me, because what's the point? And it wasn't making me feel any better. And so I really held on to the fact that the feelings I had that my mother's always critical. My mother never sees anything that I do is right. My mother doesn't acknowledge me. Typical thing, probably everybody can relate, or a lot of people can relate to those. And I worked the PS Tech, and I did it about 3 or 4 times, and I didn't do it consecutively. I did it a day, and then it kind of went for a couple of days, and then I did it again. And so it was kind of something I was kind of nudging around the edges with. but I really wanted it gone. Well, I think after the third time, I didn't really notice. I mean, it didn't feel intense. I didn't have any level. My intensity level was zero. But I also didn't have an experience to base anything on. So I just kind of was there. And then a couple of days later, my mother called. And we had a long conversation. I actually apologized to her for how I'd been behaving. And I did it with no emotional charge. I didn't even know these words were going to come out of my mouth. I was so shocked. And I did it so easily. And then my mother hasn't changed a bit. Nothing changed. But I don't have an emotional reaction to it anymore. I just don't. I mean, I can just say, you know what, that's just my mother. And just the way you would with somebody you don't know very well who doesn't push your buttons. And I have had maybe four conversations since this little epiphany, and all of them have been fine, have been easy. I didn't end the thing with, you know, being all wound up in a knot in my neck and feeling miserable. Nothing. And she has, you know what, she's acted exactly the same. It isn't like anything changed except for my reaction to it and my emotional involvement in the whole thing.
Your attachment to the what she says.
You know, it's true. And do you know that it's not even that I feel indifferent? I actually kind of feel compassionate. I think there's a Buddhist concept that talks about compassionate indifference, and that's kind of where I am with her. I am sorry when she creates pain in her life and stuff, but you know what? It's not my issue, and I don't need to get involved with it.
I think that's an important point about the indifference, because a lot of people fear, and this could be resistance too, they fear letting go of these emotional attachments because they fear that they'll be indifferent or uncaring.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That I think that's such a good point, because I was really somebody. I had a big discussion with another friend the other day about compassionate indifference, and she said, well, no, I don't think you can be compassionate unless you're really, really, you know, emotionally invested. And I said, I don't think so. I think for me, I know my personal experience is I can be caring without my emotions being pulled into it.
Right.
Without me needing to get invested in a emotional way that doesn't support me.
I think what your friend said is a belief that's very common.
Mm-hmm.
What you just mentioned that she said, oh, I can't. In order to be compassionate, I have to be involved. And that's just a belief.
That is just a belief, and it's one that doesn't serve particularly well unless being involved does something productive. I mean, I think
right.
For me in the past, being really involved just led to me feeling crappy.
Right, and it really doesn't help the other person. My perception is if I'm empathetic, in other words, I'm feeling exactly what they're feeling, I don't have the resources to really help them.
Right.
I'm just going to perpetuate it. That's what I see. When we see people that are codependent and, you know, one person supporting other people's addictions and all, and there's all sorts of situations where that happens. That's where empathy is entering. And I believe when we're passionate and involved with something, I don't believe it's compassion coming in. I think it's more empathy. And that doesn't really help the situation. But, you know, that's just definitions. And, but what you're experiencing, and again, this is for everybody to find out for themselves and trying not to dictate for others per se, but to experiment with this within your own life so that you can see how this works. And what we're talking about here is your experience, Karen, where you were able to release the attachments where she's pressing your buttons, and it allows you to be there in a compassionate way and be there for her in her later years, more for her than trying to protect yourself emotionally. Does that sound accurate?
Absolutely, because I suddenly was not emotionally invested in this anymore. I have much more resources open, available, to be kind to my mother.
Great point.
You know, just be kind to my mother, which is what I wanted.
And do you suppose, let me just, and I'm doing suppose here, some assumptions. Your mother at 87, for the most of her life, has she had much compassion or people just being okay with her?
I think that she really desperately wants compassion.
Yeah. In other words, there's maybe some loneliness going on there. Is that?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you're able to, because when we're conflicted with someone, we're definitely not helping their loneliness situation.
No, and I was so involved in protecting my own emotions,
yeah, exactly,
and making sure I didn't feel hurt that I didn't have anything left to give her. There wasn't anything left over, and I didn't even want to. I was busy being mad.
Yeah, exactly. Or at worst, fearful or feeling bad for,
that's,
you know, attacked.
That's it. Or feeling like if I let go a bit that she would just overwhelm me.
Yeah, the victim mentality would come in, or is in, saying, I got to protect myself or otherwise I get trampled.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's it exactly.
So you were able to let go of all of that with, what did you say, three or four click tracks?
Three or four clicks. It was. I mean, you know, in retrospect, whenever you think about how short this actually is, it even three or four is
right.
Just not any time at all.
You had worked on this before.
Oh, I have been in therapy for this for 7 years. Talk about working on it. I was pretty aware of the problem.
You had also used some alternative. And I don't want to go into the details, but you had many modalities, right?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, I'm kind of an energy junkie. I love all this stuff.
Okay, so what did you focus on with the mom issue in regards to the PS Tech on those three or four times? What did you, in regards to this concept of feelings and memories, you know, how did that go?
What I did was I let myself feel, generally what I felt with my mother is complete overwhelm. You know what I mean? I would feel like my mother was larger than life. Everything she said was true and feel overwhelmed. And so I really, the emotion was that kind of overwhelm. And I think with this more than even words were there, but I let myself have that icky, gray, fuzzy, yucky feeling.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just let myself feel how the emotion felt. And I kind of held that more than actually using words with this one. I held the feeling of the emotion.
Okay. Did you have any pictures or memories come up, that kind of thing?
Yeah. I had memories of how we'd been in the past, memories of, you know, just that kind of almost a general memory of how I had felt. And then I also was just very aware of how, in my body, how this memory felt. I always had kind of a faintly nauseous feeling whenever I would deal with my mother.
Oh.
Kind of faintly sick at my stomach, kind of faintly tense. My body would tense. And so I really kind of let those feelings come forward. And when I was doing the PS Tech, I physically had that kind of nauseousy, yucky feeling.
Okay.
Does that make
sense? So again, you're bringing up the pictures, and these were general memories because they were a lot of repeating memories.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing over and over again, right?
Yeah, you're talking about 6 decades of the same memory with different types of ways it came out, but it's basically the same underlying issue.
Talk about a bad rerun, right?
Yeah, exactly. The Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
You know, going on forever.
Okay, so when you say this general memory, what did it kind of involve, just to give people an idea? Did it involve just like a vision of your mom in a certain expression, a certain way, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it involved me feeling criticized, me feeling diminished, me feeling like I was wrong.
Good.
So those are probably the emotions behind it, was really my feelings of not being enough, not being good enough, not being right. So that was kind of probably the feelings that, when I said I'm focused on these kind of yucky feelings, those are the kind of words that bring up those feelings.
So you let the words come up, the feelings and the visions or little images,
yeah,
or whatnot.
Yeah, kind of the whole, just that whole feeling about
you, it. You let it come up from the subconscious, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I just let it. I didn't try to resist it. I didn't try to, like before, normally my response to that would be, I mean, to run away from it, you know, do something else, put my mind in another place, do something to divert myself. And instead, I just really kind of walked right into it, like walking into the deep end of the pool. I'm just going to walk into this and feel it.
Is it scary walking into the deep end?
Terrifying.
Okay.
Terrifying.
How do you handle that resistance and that terror? I mean,
I really had a little talk with myself and reminded myself of what I know, that what was the worst that could happen? Nothing. These are just memories. This is just in my head. This is just in my head. These are just things I'm imagining. The very worst that can happen is that it's not going to be real pleasant. Nothing else is going to happen. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to get hurt. I'm not going to do some kind of uncontrollable damage to myself that can never be reversed. And so I just reminded myself of all that. I had to have a little talk with myself, kind of, you know, to move along with it, because it was scary. It felt like everything in me said, ooh, I don't know how that's going to feel. What if I just really open up to it and don't resist at all? And so I just kept reminding myself, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is it'll be unpleasant for 5 or 10 minutes.
You're going through the same process on the abundance, on our kind of first part, the abundance, and then the issue, long-standing issue with mom and whatnot, basically.
Yeah. And I hadn't even gotten the positive tracks yet.
Yeah. Because one of the things I was thinking about for a positive track might be something along the lines, which you did manually, if you will, something about reminding that my feelings cannot harm me. That might not be a good positive. My feelings are helpful. Let them come through.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
Right.
So, okay. One last thing here. I have a full page, and I didn't have another piece of paper handy. I should have had two. I got, no one's going to be able to read
that. You knew
that.
You were talking to me.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to summarize this in the end, but I have one more thing I want to ask you, and there's so much good stuff here. You mentioned, too, all of this within 6 weeks. This is amazing. You mentioned, too, that you were dealing with some physical symptoms, some physical issues, and I do the standard disclaimer here. None of us are doctors and all that kind of good stuff. Make sure you read the disclaimer on the website, and this is not medical advice. This is merely Karen's experience. With that said, how did this move along? What did you do with this, and what prompted that?
Well, you know, it's like I called you and I said, you know, I'm probably, you know, this is like, number one, you know, I'm stuttering a little bit because I'm trying to think about how to put this. I had the firm belief to start off with that the pain in my stomach had an emotional component to it. You know, I did not believe that I had a physical, actual something wrong with my stomach. Maybe, so that certainly lent itself to me being really comfortable doing PS Tech with it. So what I did was I had this pain in my stomach, and I really felt like it was with all of the stuff I've been releasing that my body was kind of holding on to some resistance. That's my personal belief. So I thought, well, I'm going to work with the PS Tech with this, and I'm going to really see if I can change my physical body the same way I could change my emotional health. So I got really quiet and really felt the pain in my stomach. I just felt it. And I kind of held on to it. And I did think, you know, I did think. I remember when I was doing the click track, I thought, I posed a question. This may not be the way you're supposed to do it, but I posed a question to myself. I wonder if... You know, this is an emotional thing. I wonder what's going on with my stomach. My stomach really hurts. This really, really hurts. And I just kept focusing on the clenching and the hurting in my stomach and doing the click track, and it went away. It went away. I was just so amazed because, and then I wasn't amazed. Do you know what I mean? I was amazed but not amazed because I totally believed it would happen. That's why I did it.
No more startling or shock and awe.
Yeah, now it's old hat.
Yeah.
You know? But what I loved was being able to use it with something so tangibly physical. Do you know what I mean? There was like a demarcation line where with your emotions, you know it's gone and you rate it, and that's, but it's not like an actual pain in your stomach that's not there anymore. That is just so black and white.
Right.
And I loved that. And for me, it just gave me this whole new thing. I haven't had any more pain. I've been waiting for another pain, like a headache or something, because I thought with a headache it'd be really fun to try it with a headache.
Right, right.
I just haven't gotten one yet. I guess I should try, huh?
If you need a volunteer, let me know. I'll give you one.
I'll try to find a headache around.
So you focus basically just on the pain.
I did. I just focused on the pain. There was some peripheral questioning about, you know, I wonder if this is with my emotions and stuff, but that wasn't the real focus. The focus was just on feeling that pain in my stomach and holding my attention right there while I was doing the click track.
How long have you had
this kind of... Actually feeling the pain.
How long have you had this kind of pain?
Only a couple of days.
Oh, okay.
You know, and so it was relatively new. I felt like it probably was, you know, just part of, I mean, this is a huge shift, letting go of all of these really big long health beliefs.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I do believe there's an effect in your body. You know what I mean? Whenever you let go.
Well, yeah, you had mentioned that, like, when you focused on the running an abundant business, there was a clenching.
Yeah, that I would clench up. Yeah, and so there had been back and forth, but this was more like a steady, regular thing that I felt, not just when I was having a bad emotion. It was just, I was just having this pain in my stomach.
Well, yeah, you know? But I was also going to mention with the mom issue, you had mentioned a lot of stomach issues too, so...
I mean, I think a lot of people, you know, have resentment and anxiety shows
right.
up in
right.
their gut some way. Yeah.
Okay. So you had done the physical one with the stomach after these other big ones, right?
Right. Yeah,
okay.
This was just a few days ago.
This is kind of the figuring out the why, and it really doesn't matter, and no one's ever going to really know. I don't think we can ever know the why. One reason why cognitive behavior or any kind of conscious therapy does seem to take a long time is because, you know, figuring it all out, I think, is very difficult, if not impossible.
Yeah.
So what you're doing here is you're just going with the feelings as they come up and running the click track, if you will.
Exactly. It's like a leap of faith. You know
right.
what I mean? It's like,
right.
I know this process has worked for me in the past. I'm going to use it for this and see how it comes up. And the same way, I want to say this really quickly because I know we're probably mm-hmm. running out of time, but like I told you this morning, I had a weird circumstance yesterday where kind of my self-esteem got shattered for a few minutes. And it wasn't a big deal. It just happened. It was immediate. And instead of letting this fester and bubble like I would have in the past,
mm-hmm.
I used the click track on it this morning, and it's gone. And I love being able to do something with something immediate, so it didn't have time to lock into my body.
Yeah,
you know,
well, what was
I've
the feeling that
tool.
Happened afterwards? You mentioned that after you ran the click track on this was an encounter with somebody, right?
Right. I did a click track, and then I did a positive click right after. So I did those
okay.
two in conjunction with each other. And afterwards, I just felt neutral about it. I didn't feel one way or the other. It was just something that happened to me. You know what I mean? And that's
right.
exactly that's what I wanted, was that kind of just objective, yeah, well, that was his opinion, you know? End of story.
So now you're not just using the click track, because you have the level one, I believe, package, you're also
yeah.
using the positive following up the emotional clearing.
Yeah, I love using that positive one so much. And I've used it, I've gone back and used the positive one about my business,
mm-hmm.
you know, even
mm-hmm.
after it cleared up,
yeah.
just to kind of reinforce all this great stuff I'm feeling now and
yeah.
kind of lock it in. I love that positive one. It's
cool.
great.
Yeah, actually, I think that's a good idea, is to take and form, like you, sounds like you did, a positive statement about the business, and you can either be specific or general, or do more than one. You could do maybe a couple statements, or even three of them, and it's only 5 minutes, so you can run
all
three.
That's what I was going to say, it's only a few minutes. So,
yeah,
yeah,
you run three of them in 15 minutes and start your day off that way.
It's exactly a great way. In fact, I have to admit, last week, I think probably 4 or 5 days, I started the day off with a positive click track.
Oh, very good.
It's a great
okay.
way to start
okay.
the day.
So you weren't really doing any regular click tracks, clearing anything. You just started the day with a positive one, right?
I just think it's kind of fun. I like it, so yeah. I just did it.
Very good. So when you run the business one, you don't get any contrary feelings coming up anymore?
No, not at all.
Okay. Because I think the positive is a good one to run as well, because if there are any contrary issues within the subconscious, they'll come up. Like you mentioned, that resistance that says, I don't know if I can do this. And So if that does, then you just pull out the click track and work on that.
Well, that's what I love, is kind of just knowing that I've got this amazing little toolkit now that's just handy for a whole bunch of stuff.
Very good. This is cool. Wow. Let's see here. I don't know if I can summarize this at all. I'll just tell everybody to go listen to it again, but let me try this real quick, because one part that I really enjoyed that I think is really, really helpful is you're asking yourself the tough questions. And you had a friend that actually asked one that really prompted some things there, which is always helpful like that. And maybe, you know, if people do have friends out there, is ask the friend and go, you know, whatever your objective is, A, I want to do this. Does it appear that I'm really doing this? You might ask somebody that can be objective.
Right. It's good to get an outside opinion.
But usually, if you're looking at a business aspect, let's say, if you run your numbers, you can tell if you're getting results or not. Okay? If it's relationships and you don't find yourself with any good friendships, there's another good feedback, okay?
Yeah.
It's health and you're not feeling well, there's your feedback. But if you do have a close friend that can give you some objectivity, that's always helpful. What you're doing here is you're asking that question and tuning into either a memory or an imagined event. With the abundance thing, it tuned into an imagined event. With mom, it was a memory, and with that, it was rather general, but it was about the overwhelm and her larger than life. So you're tuning into those things along with the emotions and just running the click track. Now, here's the point that I really wanted to put a little extra star here, was on being aware of the resistance. And when it comes up, to address that. Now, I mean, you can run that with a click track, the resistance, or just like you said, have a good talk with yourself and do an affirmation, which sounds like you did, that says, hey, it might be unpleasant, but it's going to be helpful. It's not going to kill me. Everything's going to be okay, sounded like. And you kind of talked yourself through it, if you will. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
And then you're looking at your belief systems in there, which I think is wonderful, and especially in abundance, because as a culture, we have a lot of beliefs that are built in around this mentality of scarcity and lack. You can see it everywhere. Mm-hmm. So tuning into those now, my recommendation might be, too, you could take some of those old beliefs and turn those around and create positive statements for PS Tech Positive.
Absolutely.
Such as, it's easy and effortless to allow the opportunities to come to me, and I grab them as soon as they come, which you already seem to be doing.
But that is exactly what I used, like in the morning when I said I was using the positive track in the mornings.
Yes.
That's exactly. Yeah.
Oh, good, good. Okay. And then what you're doing is you're just basically, and I say this metaphorically, sitting back and allowing the opportunities to come and going, yes, 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 yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, yes,
okay.
Yes.
You are taking action, true, but it's almost too easy, right?
It's interesting to watch, because I would hear people say, oh, it could be really effortless, and, you know, you just need to open up, and I wouldn't even understand what they meant. And now that I've experienced it, it's totally different.
Yeah, complete. Yeah, you've heard people talk about it, and people do try to articulate it, but there's nothing like that experience.
Right.
And you just have to step forward, like you said, with that faith, and it's going to be startling sometimes, shocking. It's going to be awesome. Sometimes it might be scary, a little terror. That's okay. We can get through that as well. Okay. Huh. So much stuff in here. Like I said, I recommend people listen through to this again. If you're looking with emotional issues around abundance, issues around relationships, issues around health, we kind of covered them all, it looks like, here. The click tracks, the positives, etc. I appreciate all your time that you've thrown out here for me and for everyone else, Karen.
This is a joy. I mean, I love talking about this, because it's just something that I believe in.
Again, if anybody needs to contact you, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
They can email me at Karen, K-A-R-E-N, at apeacefulpath.com. Or my phone number is area code 818-710-8120. Okay?
Okay. Well, visit Karen on her site. Down below on this, the page for this recording will be a place for comments. If you give her a thank you, if you, or a mahalo, depending where you're coming from here, and let her know that you appreciate this, because, I appreciate the time, Karen, and I got some goodies here that I can use. I really like this. I really appreciate this. This is really, really helpful. Any final comments? Any last words for us?
Just that I am enormously grateful to Tim. I'm just enormously grateful for Tim and for you for showing me this way, for providing this opportunity. I mean, I don't even know how to thank you enough. So thank you.
That's enough right there. And I know Tim appreciates it, too. He loves hearing that. All right. Again, Karen, I appreciate all your help, and I appreciate you sharing and being so open. And a respect to your abundant business, to your wonderful mother, and to your perfect health.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Everybody else, again, this is Jeff with DS Tech. Appreciate you coming by and listening in. Take good care. Keep clicking. Aloha.